Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Dave Atwill starting things off for this week's edition of Pop Culture Stars. Almost called it our former name. Nevertheless, Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody's doing well tonight. We, at the current moment, are expecting Dr. John, but we may not be able to get him. He is currently handling something. But otherwise, this evening, right now, we do have my most esteemed friend, brother-in-arms, and co-host, Todd Saxon. Talk to me.
Got to tell you, Dave, that I'm doing outstanding to supernatural, and I am ecstatic to be here, especially after the way the weather was playing the seventh wonder or eighth wonder of the world, ninth wonder, something the other night, because it was not wonderful, but it was a wonder to behold.
Yes.
That unpronounceable hurricane threw and wrecked some havoc here. We were extremely fortunate, counting our blessings here, because we didn't have any significant power outage. So I got that going for me, was able to help clear the road here in the neighborhood first thing in the morning, get the major limbs out of it, and there were quite a few. So managed to get that done, and still was logged into work by 5:30 in the morning. And so when I wrapped up somewhere around 15:30 in the evening, went ahead and commenced to clearing the excess limbs out of the yard. We were on the edge of building some cabins and such, and because there were some pretty darn big limbs. Here we go. I got one of my wonderful workmates asking if the hurricane blew my walker away. I'm guessing somebody else on the line probably well aware of whom that was that asked that. No, I had my walker properly anchored. Thank you very much, Miss May. You might say that if I said anything bad about her, then it might be a dismay. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Just like that. you know I'm out here taking a bow.
You should.
I thought that was rather glib of me, but no, everything's really rather outstanding here. Things are good.
Good to hear, because for those of for those listening out there, and bear with me as I still get my mess together here.
And it's hot.
If you're not,
as in your mess, it's a hot mess.
Yeah, the hot mess. That is the malt beverage and the wonderful cigar from Godfather Cigars I am lighting as we speak. You know, if you're not from this area and have ever been through one of these hurricanes, there's two things you hope for. One, the power don't go out, because hurricanes don't show up in January. And when you have a July, August hurricane, it is just absolute misery. The humidity moves inside, and it doesn't take but a half a day for that humidity to get inside your house and wreak havoc in many different ways. And not to mention making everything just miserable as hell. So then when the lights do come on and your air conditioner cranks back up, it takes probably a day and a half to 2 days for it to purge all of that dampness in your house to actually get it at a comfortable level. So if your lights go out for more than, say, 6 to 10 hours, it will make you wish you lived in Canada or further north. The other thing that you hope for with these hurricanes is that they happen during the daytime. And
true.
Several reasons. Number one, you can kind of assess what's going on in the daytime. You can stick your head outside. You can look around. In the event that something does go wrong, you can go outside and maybe possibly have a chance of securing it and or just somehow or another making it enough to get by and through the storm. Worst of all is when it happens at night, things happen, and you don't know where in the hell it's happening. And you're hearing noises, and what happened to me, I had a very, very large branch come out of this maple tree to the right of me here. And this tree's got to be, if this tree isn't a couple hundred years old, I'd be surprised, because it's a huge tree. And it lost a large limb out of it. And when I was laying on the couch, because, during the hurricanes, I always kind of like to be up and ready. If I'm laying in bed, trying to get out of bed and work your way around the spouse and the dogs and put on, if you're laying on the couch, whamp, you're up and you're at it, Well, I was laying there, and I guess it was right around 2 in the morning, something shook the couch.
Tea time, I agree.
It used to be last call before Comrade Cooper got hold of the operation, but
right.
There was a large shaking of the couch and immediately woke up. And again, the nifty thing about these things coming through at night is when you hear this stuff, you don't necessarily want to walk outside, because in the daytime you could walk outside. And if something's blowing around or coming at you, you can duck. During the nighttime, it's kind of like throwing a football, playing catch at night. You know the ball's coming, but you don't know where it's coming from. So if there's any debris flying around, you don't have a chance of ducking it or staying out of the way, because you can't see it. So I took the spotlight from the window here, my arm out, and I scanned around, counted my trees, and I said, okay, well, all my trees are there. I should be, maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. Nah, the hell with it. Laid back down on the couch. So come about an hour and a half later, it was around 3:30. Misty, our English Mastiff, had to go out, and she's straight diva. She has no use for water at all. She doesn't like baths, and she damn sure doesn't like the rain. So I opened the door up, and she walked right on out in the rain. I knew she had to go. So I put on my raincoat, followed her out here with the spotlight, and I scanned around the damn yard here across the property, and I just shrugged. I couldn't even see grass for all the limbs down. And there's one in particular that came out of that maple tree that I still accuse for being the one that shook the couch. So I had a considerable amount of fallen timber. Didn't lose any trees, but I lost all the stuff that was in them. So big thanks to my son Rob, who helped me put together another burn pile that's about the size of a minivan and a half. And once things dry out, we will start the big burn and burn it down. And just when we get it at a manageable level, we'll have another hurricane come through, and we'll start it all over again. But that is life in coastal Carolina and these hurricanes, folks. If you ever have to do a hurricane at night, and let me go on to say this. If it's your first hurricane and it comes through at night, you probably want to go ahead and get liquored up, or maybe, double dose on the Benadryl or something of that effect, because it's no fun. And if you've never been through on these hurricanes, they can get pretty damn creepy. So good to hear that everybody around here is safe. Most of the friends I've contacted are doing well, and y'all are just having to deal with the cleanup part of it. But otherwise, we're still standing. live to fight another day, and move on to the next storm that comes up.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only thing we can do.
Oh. Still trying to light
Sir.
My cigar here. We do have a caller out there. Who do we have?
Oh.
Well, we had a caller.
You're live
have...
on the air.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I was muted or not. And, of course, at the moment, I asked to get the dog put up in the kennel. This is Tim, wonderful coworker of Todd.
What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just sitting back on the first drink of the night, and like I said, I had to get the dog in, and of course she took off and went rogue, so right as you were inquiring about the caller, I had to go chase her down. Wonderful.
Look, that whole Murphy's Law thing happens every time you're on the air. That's when, you know, somebody, your phone's on mute, they call on you. It's, Tim, it's just like the doggone virtual walkthroughs. You're cluttering around, you got the phone on mute, making noise, and that's when they're like, hey, what do you think? And you're like, where's the mute button? What I do last week, like a third of the way in the show, instead of mute myself or unmute myself, I hit the hang up button. You know, I mean,
we've
all done that one.
Post show discussion about the things we do during the show that nobody realizes that we're doing, but we communicate between ourselves. So, every now and then, I'll be out in the woods taking care of business, and I hear Dr. John going, so Dave Atwell, and I'm like running out of the woods trying to pull my britches up, trying to take care of nature's calling. And but that's the reason why I don't want to do these things on a YouTube channel or anything like that, because then you'll see the actual fun and games between the nose picking, the burping, the ass scratching, the running into the woods to pee, all that kind of nifty stuff we do during the shows that we cleverly cover up. We're professionals. Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, I know that's me. Lord knows, I'd hate to see what you would do that would get us in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Tim, out of curiosity, Tim, have you ever been through a hurricane?
No, I have not, and I was going to mention that I was kind of picking on Todd a little bit, not really picking on him, but I was saying, hey, go ahead and get us some videos. Be safe, but get us some videos. But no, I myself have never been before.
He did, and of course it was at night, not real conducive to videos and that, and we were IMing fairly in the morning, send some messages back to work, on back and forth at work. And I was, and I told him I was kind of antsy about what I, getting out and doing too much in the morning other than trying to clear the road, because I mentioned we got a fairly decent variety of species of venomous snakes here.
Yes.
And when you get some of that extra water and stuff that's around there, and we ground got pretty saturated, it tends to push them out of their little hidey holes, and they got to be out and about and roaming. And so they're already, much like my rather short friend that was sending me a text earlier. Not sure which of the seven dwarves she is, but the one I know she's not is Happy. She's
That's
definitely
right.
Not
I ain't happy.
Yeah, which of the seven are you?
Still love that joke.
Which of the other three are you? Oh, true story. The
even though I wrecked the Zamboni laughing at it, it's still a great joke.
That's it. I thought, man, true story. I hit Dave with that bit at work one time, and he was, I just had profanity in the text at me, so I got that going for me. Hey, I didn't mention any names, but you know who you are out there. The I would like to thank our, we have, I believe, I know for sure one new follower tonight, and we definitely have a new listener tonight out there. So To our new listener, thank you. Welcome aboard. We appreciate you being here with us. The bad news is I know you. So we've got that going for you.
Yeah, buddy. Look out. And don't touch the drum set. Remember that?
Right.
But,
oh, man.
You know, it's funny with these hurricanes, and not to continue on the hurricane story, but it's top of the mind, is for here at the house. Now, other states would, you know, of course, have a different story. But I know around here, it seems like the F and the I ones. We had, you know, Fran, Florence, Floyd, Ivan, Irene, this Iglesias thing, whatever the hell this thing just came through. Those are the storms that always seem to give us the worst time. But no two storms are ever the same. And that's the funny thing about it, is that every storm seems to have a unique quality about it. And like this one here, whereas Florence, the thing about Florence was it rained for 4 solid days. Now, that doesn't sound like much. Anybody goes through that. Hell, that could happen in Idaho, right? But it's a hurricane-driven rain. So, in the words of Forrest Gump, it's the big old fat rain, not the light stinging rain. It is just constant downpour. So, everybody gets the propane and the charcoal in case the lights go out so I can go out and grill and we can still eat a meal. Well, when it pours ass rain for 4 solid days, even a gas grill isn't going to cooperate. And the rain just kept coming and coming and coming. So the wind damage was somewhat minimal. I would say on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, probably around a 5 when it come down to the wind damage. But the water damage, on the other hand, might as well have been a 10 because everything flooded and Onslow County became Hawaii. So all of the help couldn't get in to help us because we were pretty much surrounded by a moat that the hurricane had created. This hurricane we had this week, whatever the hell it isosceles or whatever the hell the name was, it wasn't that much of a rainmaker, but damn the wind. The wind was unreal. So, it's funny how these things work. And one of these days, I've lived on the East Coast since 1977. It's when I moved to Parris Island. I need to sit down one day and see just how many hurricanes I've sat through in my life. And it'll be interesting to see. But no matter what, and Todd, you'll agree with me, even the Category 1, I know a lot of people around here get their hurricane balls on and go, it's a hurricane. Yeah, it's just a Category 1. A Category 1 just knocked a damn turkey platter-sized limb out of a damn maple tree behind my house here. So even the Category 1s, you've got to really watch what you're doing. So, yeah, these storms are interesting. Like I said, you know, you'll have one. What was the one we had last year, Todd? We had one that came through here last year, and it rained for about 24 straight hours. Where you were in Indianapolis.
Hurricane name last year. Asking the wife. Hurricane name last year that came through that rained 24 straight hours. Didn't go real fast. Do you remember? All right, wife, don't remember. I don't know. I wasn't there to deal with it.
But we had... Yeah, well, you remember, I was on the show that night. Remember when I had to get off the show because something snapped by the house? I was on the front door, and something crunched and hit the ground, and I said, guys, I got to go. That hurricane had a lot of rain, but the wind was minimal, which, you know, of course something fell out of the tree anyway. But then you have ones like this one that just came through where the rain was hardly there, but the wind is enough to blow your balls up between your damn shoulder blades. So it's, they're just strange things. And I always go back, and how many times have I mentioned, as a matter of fact, I think we talked about it last week, the amount of balls that it took to sail across the Atlantic back in the 15, 1600s, when you don't even know what a sturgeon is. You think everything's a damn mermaid or a kraken. Could you imagine being somebody having to go through a damn hurricane out here in the 1600s? That's got to suck.
Oh, most definitely. The, you know, we're just talking about some of the storms that have come through here back in the years. Okay, so somewhere around turn of the century, we had Dennis was one of the two that back-to-back us.
Yes.
Dennis was one of the two that hit us back-to-back, and it was brutal. Man, it was nasty,
time.
And that was when... Say again?
That one hit us three times, if I remember right. It,
yeah, well...
It blew by us on the coast.
We had two back-to-back, and one of them turned around and doubled back, did the combo punch on us. Absolutely. You are truth.
That was good. Yep.
That was some nastiness. And while those were good examples of not the heaviest wind, the water damage, the flooding was extraordinary. Extraordinary. There's places in Kinston that can't get flood insurance now from, you know, based
right
on that event. And
yeah,
Kinston, for those that know the area, they tend to take a beating anyway, but this was just pretty monumental, like just unreal. Yeah, so that was another one. That was back there, like I said, somewhere near the turn of the century. Seems to me I was up at Cherry Point at the time. Let me see what the heck else. The man. Well, I brought up the venomous critters out there. The dude, some of the storms and some of the wildlife that comes out as a result can be really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the bugs in particular. I still, to this day, you know, here around this area, you've got your crickets, your cockroaches, your flies. I don't care how clean you keep your house, you're going to have them from time to time. But since
or those that don't want to admit they have cockroaches, they call them palmetto bugs.
Yeah, those are water bugs. No, it's a goddamn cockroach, man. No shame in the game. You know, they've been around since damn Tyrannosaurus had him in his house. So, you know, it's no big deal. Just smush the damn thing and move on, you know.
Well, these are not the biggest ones here. I mean, I've seen ones overseas that you could use as skateboards. So our biggest ones here can only be used as roller skates.
Hey, you remember Gary, the bug guy over there at work, the Ecolab guy? Remember him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one day he sat me down and was talking about cockroaches. And he kept saying, yeah, well, those are the German ones, blah, 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 blah. He goes, yeah, those are the tough ones. And he keeps mentioning these German cockroaches. So, of course, leave it to me. I says, so, you keep mentioning these German cockroaches. I says, how do you know they're German? Do they, like, call you Fraulein or wear armbands? Or what exactly do they do? And I thought it was a good one-liner. But then he went on to another 7 to 10 minute explanation of what makes a German cockroach different than every other cockroach out there. So, no,
dude,
whatever I
said, he did not play.
No, he knew his roaches. So whenever I see a roach I'm like, want to bend down and say Guten Tag or something just to see if it's a German one.
Yeah, but Wasserschloss? So, yeah, I guess in German it'd be Wasser Schloss. What's up? Sorry, bringing back some old school commercial references. Sorry about that. The bugs
get stirred up pretty good after these storms too, because wherever they're hiding is disturbed somehow or another. So
yeah. This is what did not happen this time. And it might be because I've been doing all-out war since I got back. But it is not uncommon with both the classic spring rains and after a hurricane. In our case here, the damn fire ants will do their little ant ball and flow through the water. Yeah. And they always go for the mailbox and decide they're going to build a nest in the frickin' mailbox.
Yeah, man.
That is just one of the, it is, all you can do is insecticide the snot out of it and go ahead and just wait and know that it's going to be really ugly to clean out. Because somebody's sending me texts while we're on the air. No, the hurricane did not blow my teeth away. You can use the classic, the wife went ahead and used the classic tornado protection, and all the important things always go into the tub because, you know, bathroom safest room in the house routine. And so now it was kind of a bit of a pain because they were at the bottom of the pile. So, it took me a while to get to them, but yes, I did find them. So, thank you, Dismay, for that text.
Yeah, what does Gorilla Glue really taste like?
Wow. All right, well, now, while we're here in Hurricane Alley, where my esteemed workmate is he's in Tornado Alley.
Yeah, kind of the border, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, you got, when, not the best edge of it. I've been in Kansas proper and had some interesting times there, but we get some wicked storms up there.
Yes, we do. I'm one of those nut jobs that little kid mentality of you always want to see it. I have yet to actually see up close and personal a tornado, so I still have the desire, and I'm sure that once I do have that opportunity, I will no longer want to have that desire. But I kind of want to be a storm chaser when I was a kid too. But I don't know. I think it's been kind of light. It always seems like I'm begging for the big storms to come through. I don't know why, because we have big old trees that could fall and smash our house at any given time. But I think it's been kind of light this year.
Well, you said it out loud, so now you let the genie out of the bottle.
The kiss of death. Yeah, those tornadoes, the bad news about those is that there's no warning. You don't want to get near it, and you don't know where in the hell they're going. With these hurricanes, you kind of got an idea of the path it's running, or what they like to call the what do they call it? The cone of expectancy. But with a tornado, and I tell you, another one too is a water spout. If you've ever had and I've been witness to one of each, and unfortunately the water spout, I wasn't comfortably sitting on land, you know, tanning my wonderful legs. I was actually out in a ski boat when one of these freak summer storms came up, and that water spout, I mean, it was easily a couple of miles from us, but it didn't keep the digested chow in my bowels anywhere less sensitive. And I had some scary mess, man.
Let me ask you a question about that, Dave. So, Did you just burn your drawers afterwards, or did you just, like, you know, put them in a garbage bag and throw them away?
No,
because I'm guessing you probably weren't able to launder them.
We pushed the boat to land, and just, you know, it was only like a 17-foot bayliner. It wasn't that big of a boat, 16, 17-foot, and we just buzzed it right onto the beach. And at which time I ran across the beach to the access that was down the way and took care of things. So the drawers were spared, but the nerves weren't. And there was no need in any type of colon cleansing or anything like that. I wouldn't have to drink the drink before a colonoscopy, because I was definitely cleaned out after that experience. That was...
So it was what you would call a moving experience?
Yes, yes. It was very moving. Very moving. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't have any use for either one of them. I'll put up with the hurricane and the occasional flooding and whatnot. But the tornadoes, keep them. Don't want them. Nope.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think there's this individual storm that causes me more just the possibility of them, it just gives you, because their capabilities for, you know, dynamite in small packages things, that's a doggone tornado. I mean, a singular tornado can go through and cause more damage than a stinking hurricane. That's just boggles the mind. Speaking of dynamite in small packages, let's talk about Beirut.
That's the oddest video I've ever seen. That was wild.
Yeah. You want to talk about standing there with your pecker in your hand. Where were you when that surge hit your apartment? I mean, it would be my luck. I'd be on the turlet or jerking off or something like that when all that happened. But, man, I'm seeing these videos, and did you guys see the one with the guy shooting from his car? He was driving across that bridge.
No, I didn't see the car video.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, Christ almighty. I mean, you want to talk about poo-worthy, man. And I say he, I don't know if it's a he or not, but the person in the car, or I assume a passenger, was videoing the smoke, and you guys were in the, you know, you guys could probably tell how many miles away they were better than I can, but they were a considerable distance from that harbor, and you see the explosion go off, and I mean, you could just, it looks like something off a damn movie. It kind of reminds me of when they had the Death Star on Rogue One. And they shot Jedha, and everything just started rolling, you know, and they're running from it and flying away from it, but the whole thing is just like ripple effect. Shattered his windshield, just crunched his car all to pieces. It's incredible footage. And he was a long
distance. It may be one of the best. Maybe one of the best documentations from the various footage that I've seen of the shockwave that comes from those.
Yeah.
The pressure wave comes from that. The from what I understand is, it registered on the Richter scale, and B, did they say it was, they even felt it in Cyprus?
Oh, wow.
That's,
I didn't hear that.
Insane.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. The, oh, good grief. I'm telling you what, the crater that left in that dock was bigger than some of the craters that my jokes have left on this show. It was brutal. And that's not easy to do.
Now, you heard about what all caused it, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about some good old-fashioned corporate nonsense. As many times... And Todd, you work with me long enough. where I send the constant emails going, hey, we need to, this thing's going to hell. We need this fixed. We need this taken care of. And nothing else. And every week you send, as a matter of fact, it gets to a point where you just click, you just copy and paste, and you send it every week. And then when it goes to hell, everybody's going, well, why wasn't that fixed? Well, let me show you the 406 emails I have that never got responded to or got pushed off or got told, you know, to hang in there type things. And that apparently is what's happened. And you can't store almost 2,800 metric tons of ammonium nitrate in a place that has an ambient temperature of 120 degrees. It's just not going to work. Yeah. And, I mean, that was – it's a damn wonder it stayed there as long as it did without this happening. And apparently there was somebody welding near it. And that was all it took.
That's what – but I thought that they said they don't know what caused the initial fire, like what everybody was originally videotaping, right?
Right. I don't know if that was from the welding or not. But that was enough of a
that either.
Yeah, it seemed like that fire was what caused. And from what I heard, that chemical itself is actually not flammable. But I don't know. I'm not going to act like a chemist or whatever. But because something else is actually, you know, burning next to it, it does have a reaction, and that's what, you know, obviously made the explosion. But I was thinking they said they weren't sure what caused that initial fire, unless there's been an update.
Yeah, I heard it had something to do with a welding accident. Somebody was welding at the harbor, and something caught on fire, and the fire, of course, is what ignited. And whose ammonium nitrate was it, boys and girls? The second guys, not China, but the Russians. And I dare not call them Soviets, but nevertheless, yeah, it was a rogue.
Man, now that, wow, and I use archaic expressions. Yeah, that's something you haven't heard in a while. Well done, Dave.
A little Soviet action, a little USSR there. Unless, of course, they're on the Olympics, and then they slice an S there, and it's just USR, which I always found confusing as a kid. I'm like, so how in the hell did they go about losing an S? This is the Olympics. They ought to be able to have the S, you know, USR, USSR. And even their trunks had it, you know, when they had the females out there doing the powerlifting and everything. All right, more Russian jokes.
Please. Yeah. Some of those East German chicks made Schwarzenegger look small.
Truth. Yeah.
Now we're digging deep. Just for the record, I think we did really good. A reminder to people, we actually have zero script whatsoever. And, you know, we don't have Dr. John on the thing. He, you know, he's our idea guy. He usually gives us something. Dave and I, if we have an idea or we know that we're going to be soloing ahead of time, you know, we'll come up about 10 minutes before the show and we'll brainstorm, such as it is. Speaking on my behalf, Dave's the brains of the group there compared to me. We had no agenda, anything like that, walking into this show tonight, and we made it roughly 36 minutes without a tangent. That is freaking amazing. That might be a record for the show.
That is what's called an audible. When you just get up to the line, you look at the defense, and you know everything you said in the huddle doesn't mean jack shit. So you just go X, and that's the play everybody runs. That's pretty much what we did tonight. Big tip of the hat to you, Todd, and, of course, Tim helping us out tonight, because this was basically introductions, mentioning the hurricane, and we got it all the way to Beirut in 40 minutes. So, hats off, man. We kicked some ass. Once again, don't try this at home, kids. <They're professional.
laughs> That and can't forget that this May was sending some periodic texts for some odds and ends comedic material as we were going through the show. So thank you, Dismay.
Very good.
Brand new name for that one. Wait till I use that in one of the meetings. Dismay.
Now,
going
back to the Blue Root thing, you know that the 27, well, I'll just say 28,000, I'll round it up, 28,000 metric tons of ammonium nitrate. There was almost 2 metric tons used on the Oklahoma City bombing. So you remember what that did to the Murrah building, just up to 2 metric tons. And this sucker had 14 times as much. Jumping Jesus, man. The footage is just incredible. And even more marvelous is the fact that a lot of people that got this footage, thank Christ, they lived. Because, I mean, the amount of distance, and that's the thing, too, that's pretty sobering, is when you find out the amount of distance between the harbor and where these videos are shot. And you kind of, well, take, for instance, Todd, you've been to my house. My house, believe it or not, is only 5 miles from the Jacksonville Mall. Now, of course, if you're driving it, it takes you 45 damn minutes because nobody gets over 30 miles an hour in Jacksonville. But
if somebody was like, they're doing, well, we got those same ones. They do 40 in a 35 zone. But when they hit a 45 or 55 zone, they're sticking at the same 40.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely correct. If somebody was to ask me how far Jacksonville Mall was from my house, I'd tell them 12 miles. Why? Because it takes you Christ eternity to get from my house to the mall. But it's only a little over 5 miles. So in perspective, when you think about this place and the blast radius it had, for God's sake, I mean, you watch the videos, you can see the damn roofs blowing off of these places, man. I mean, it's incredible. So just to put it in perspective, if something like that was to happen at Jacksonville Mall, it would probably ruin my afternoon here at the house. And that's just hard to digest. It's just incredible. And to say that they've only lost 100 people and there's like 200 missing is an absolute miracle. I mean, that right there, I mean, for crying out loud, you'd think the death toll would be way up there. So, you know, just God bless those folks out there. And you know, I hope they're able to maintain and carry on, because talk about not having power. They're not waiting on Duke Power to get out there and fix things. They ain't going to have power for a long-ass time.
Yeah, and they were not in a good place to start with. And you know me, my background, I will admit, a little teeny tiny part of me thinks of a certain barracks over there and thinks, good, you fuckers had this coming. Sorry about the language, folks. But the major portion of me turns around and says, you know, that ain't right, because there are a lot of people that had not a darn thing to do with that ended up on the wrong side of that. And that's what I try to stay focused on. I admit a part of me is not so pristine, you know. I'm human. What can I say? We ain't far from that date, come to think of it there. So there's a little bit of irony there. Oh, one of the best irony jokes I seen today. Man, I can't remember if it was one of my former Marine friends, or I'm thinking This might actually be one of the great Batman cosplayers. He does a ton of stuff. Our common friend Ronald Rossman, big love, brother. The definition of irony, getting pregnant on a pull-out couch.
Oh, yeah.
That actually cracked me up.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was wrong, right?
Yeah, that was wrong.
Good stuff, Ron. Dude, that was awesome. That was great. For those that don't know, Ronnie does a bunch of stuff. And one of my favorite things is we're doing a I don't believe I'm allowed to use a phrase on the air, so I'm trying, or, you know, legally. So a con event. There we go.
A pop culture con.
All things cosplay and you name it. They had all kinds of stuff going on. We've got so many wonderful artists that participate.
That the venue kind of.
That was that not fun place. And this guy voluntarily, first off, he's got some of the best bloody Batman costumes ever. Sat there and he emceed all day long. Ron did not have to do that. He definitely did not. And he was just spectacular with something. And he had no idea, given all the other, maybe he did. He's pretty stinking cognizant, to say the least. There were a ton of things going on behind the scenes that we were dealing with, trying to put this event on. And Ron just took all that stuff off our plate. That's one of the greatest events. And it was one of the most spectacular cosplay days ever, given the size of the event. That brought Josh Alexander into our world. We had the guy that had done the, what was it? He crossed a samurai with the, oh my God. You remember that dude, Dave? He did kind of like a robotic samurai type thing going on. We had our girl Tiffany Beckler doing a full body paint event.
Yeah.
John
all
Gibson
day long.
Was out there.
Josh Mayers. Chrissy Leffy.
So much stuff going on.
From Vaughn, too. We had Vaughn Williams and we had Brian out there. Casey out there.
Vaughn and Ryan were both there. Oh, my goodness. They were killing it. Cassie Page was there. Cassie is like, hey, Cassie, can I get a photo? So she starts posing and stuff. I show them to the wife. She's like, you're not allowed to go to these things without escorts anymore. Thanks, Cassie. There was that one, Papa Stroh was there. I mean, we just had so many people, so much stuff going on, and we were dealing with
an unfriendly.
The facility was not honoring the contract. Eric and team from Eastern Exotics, you guys took it in the shorts on that one. I'm really sorry, but you were still there. We still have the contact stuff like that. So big love to Eric Dion and the team. The Turtle Man Dan, speaking of former member of that team, Turtle Man Dan, big love, dude. The stuff you're doing, and helping people out with dealing some of the exotics and stuff like that. Outstanding stuff. The We've got Tim has got like no clue what the hell I'm talking about here. We've got some guys that do animal rescue. We've got a lot of people that think it's a really cool idea to go buy this snake or, these unique pets. And they get home, and much like a puppy that grows into a dog or a kitten that grows into a cat, suddenly they don't know how to deal with that stuff, that kind of thing. Well, you're in a much more unique situation when somebody's got some type of constrictor, a larger boa or larger python, a variety of the various lizards that are out there, bearded lizards, whatnot, that, just start growing larger than they're ready to deal with. They start eating more things. They realize they're more upkeep. I just spent this much on an enclosure and the thing outgrew it, in 2 years.
Yeah.
That stuff happens. And these cats are doing so much awesome rescue stuff. The
have you ever seen a dog
turtle
cat rescue?
Eric Dionne and his crew, they knew I'd walk up, and the way things were back then, I told you, truth be told, if I could walk into a Comic-Con with $20, that meant I had to eat somehow during that day. Ideally, I'd pack a lunch and have something in my damn cooler so I could do that, and I'd have a whole $20 for the day, which is a fart in a windstorm when you're at a con. I apologize if I use the phrase that we're not allowed to use. I know the proper owners. Love you all. I'm not trying to encroach on your territory. I'd walk in there, and I'd take that $5, and I'd drop it in their jar, and I'd get handed a boa constrictor or one of the monitor family or stuff. And I would just walk around for the next couple hours with this beastie on my shoulders and whatnot, and I just, they knew I was a happy camper, and they knew I loved the critter. That was, it's great to be with people like that that are working things. One of my favorite rescues they did, and he's passed on, Julius. I miss you. Many photos with you, Julius. I just gave a shout out to a constrictor. Dave, some of the stories, but dude, Tim, you would not believe the rescue stuff that they had pulled off and the things that they've been doing and the foundations and their goals. Turtle Man, the stuff he's doing, their goals are just really unique. They're awesome. Big thanks. The Wilmington Con that blew up on us. I believe there, Diamond Dave, that your phrasing was it went supernova on us. I got a comp ticket because I'd been supportive and done some certain things. Next thing I knew, I was working this bloody con. Turtle Man, he was the first guy from that team that, hey, dude, you got to hook me up, where are you on social media? Are you doing anything? You got a preference? You're out there, that kind of stuff. Turtle Man, and he's dealt with some of my calls from Indy while I was up there. Just a hell of a guy, the stuff they're doing. But the unique rescue stuff that they do with these animals that people don't know what the heck they're getting into. I know the snake needs to get out and crawl around, but it's going places I don't like, so I'm going to grab a bottle of ammonia and spray him in the face because I don't want him going there. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing that. And I will tell you, there was Julius, when he got rambunctious, it was because, and as close as he got to what you would call rambunctious, or feeling frisky was because he had just shed his skin and he was well fed and it was nice and sunny outside and he was feeling it and he was happy. He was going to move and enjoy it. You never saw any sense of aggression from that guy. Nothing even close. And that was close. He showed energy. That dadgum monitor that I was sitting there and holding and stuff, Jabba, that pig fell asleep on my shoulder. And I'm like, why am I sitting here holding an 18-pound monitor that's asleep on my shoulder and my arms falling asleep holding him up while he's asleep? That was brutal. Very cool, but brutal. Yeah, I mean, that monitor sat there and fell asleep. And one of the coolest things Eastern Exotics ever pulled off, and Eric, you were huge on this. I would not have bet in my life that my bride, Yuki, would have ever let a tarantula on her. And sure enough, in the wonder on her face in the photo, when that tarantula was crawling on her arm, was amazing. Just amazing. So that's just some of the things these people do. And she, you know, she was just pretty much, you know, all but running away, screaming when she would see one. And yet she pulled that off. I never would have seen, that never would have been done without people like that. So to those folks doing the unique animal rescues, big hugs. Been a while since we pulled props on this. I know I'm still running here. Deal with it. The big props on the folks that do all the other animal rescues for the dogs, cats, and whatnot. Don't want to leave you out of it. You're appreciated.
Todd, I feel like this is the one time I could possibly chime in. A lot of this stuff I thought about interjecting earlier and asking about if you had roundabouts down there, but you mentioned rescue. And I will say, no, it's not the reptilian type and such, but you know, we've got a little bit of a hobby farm here, and I do have a little bit of a, I guess, anecdote, if you will. And I don't know if I've ever personally told you, but we will,
stories here. Tim, I'm going to have you lead in about what was going on when you were butt dialing me, in the last couple weeks.
Oh, I can't even.
I know this will get your goat, but please.
That's right. I guess I will start there. I had my phone on me. It was in my shorts. And in the time we were, I guess I'll start off by saying it was, I think like a Saturday morning, you know, it was nice out. It was warm, but it was sunny. I was getting ready to fix the weed eater out on the porch. Going to have a good day. I had my whole thing planned. I'm like, yeah, but get this fixed, get some yard work done, you know, maybe go out to the pool. And I hear this, we have goats, we have alpacas. You know, we've got a few other animals besides that. But I hear this god-awful noise, and it's coming from the goats. And it's not like any other cry. It's, you know, and I'm thinking, and I've gone down this road before. They've gotten out before. From the fence, and I constantly have to go out there and fortify it and find new ways, you know, that there's, you know, goats that'll get out, and I got to go out there and fix it and bring them back. So when I hear this noise, I'm like, I know what that means. God dang it. One of them's gotten out, and I got to go figure out where. So I huff up. I'm running off the porch, and this time it's a little bit more dramatic because I see cars. There's one who has, and I'm kind of in a rural area, not the most rural area. We're kind of right outside of Westfield proper, if you will, but outside of city limits. And I see a car had stopped and it's blocking both lanes from going anywhere, put their blinkers on. And I'm like, oh crap. So I take off running. I see another truck and the guy's got our smallest goat walking toward me in his arms. And I said, thank you so much. I said, did you happen to see? And he said, you know, your goat got out. He was real nice. He said, I just saw it walking on the road, stopped to get it. And I said, did you happen to see where it got out? And he said, no, I didn't. He said, perhaps right there, you know, and pointed to an area that looked a little sketchy. So I, you know, said, thanks a million, got it, put it back in the pasture. I tried to do my best to fortify at that time. But, you know, to fast forward a little bit later on, which is where we get to the butt dialing Todd, we had decided to, you know, Kim, we came across this guy. He actually came by our property about a week prior and said, hey, do you have any of your baby goats for sale? Well, sir, they're not baby goats. They're Nigerian dwarves. So they're smaller in size, but you know, I'll text my wife. You know, she's busy right now, but we'll see. You know, I don't know if she plans on getting rid of them. It's her baby. You know, that's her farm. You know, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward to that time to get out.
Real quick, before we get any nasty emails or instant messages or anything, that is an actual species of goat. Please look it up when he refers to him as dwarf. I don't want to hear it later. Dismay, he was not dissing you.
At 5'7", I'm a little now you're definitely going to get some nasty emails. I know the coworker he's talking about, mutual friend of ours, and now he is going to get he's going to get nasty texts now. But, yeah, so anyway, my wife texts this guy, and she tells me, she says, hey, we'll just get rid of her. She's the one, she's the Houdini that gets out all the time. She's the problem child, so let's just sell her. But, all right, so this guy, you know, we're prepping for him to come by, and she says, hey, can you get, you know, go grab the goat, and we'll give him another one because they like to be in herds. And that was the reason why he wanted one, is because he had one by itself and wanted to have a couple others with it. And so, we got a couple for him. Well, I had to wrangle him up and put him in. We have this bigger dog kennel. It's hardly used, but, you know, it is what it is. And it's kind of like a staging area in case we have to get the alpaca sheared, in case we do things like this. So I had to go out there and grab the goats. Well, I put him in the barn once. They got out. I had to go out and wrangle him up again. She wasn't here. She was. But the gentleman came by to get them, and one got away from me. And I had already had him in the dog kennel, so I thought, we're good to go. He just has to go in there and get him. We're good to go. Well, they got one. I went to go grab the other one. The thing took off from, you know, and I slipped because there was, like, leaves or whatnot in there, and I slipped. The thing got away from me. So needless to say, I had to run around the backyard chasing this thing, and I fell quite a few times. And within that time period is when I happened to butt dial Todd. So Todd gets a call from me, and I don't even know exactly what you heard, Todd. Probably some goat noises. I don't even know what was audible at that point. So, that was a fun time.
And there was some muttering that was not suitable for the air.
I'm sure. I'm very sure. So needless to say, we got the goats off. He took them away. That's the story Todd wanted me to mention. I wanted to bring up a different time that was, it's been, I guess, a year
just
now.
Just for the record, true story. I just want people to know it really happened.
Yeah. But that's good. So, I don't know if Todd knows.
Oh, by the way, I am getting those nasty messages coming in, just saying.
So here's another good one. And again, this goes back to, you know, rescue, because we did a couple of the alpacas. We did rescue them because they were the place they were at previously was not suitable for them. They were not good condition. So, we've rescued some animals, but, my favorite was about a year ago. My wife again says, hey, there are some, I don't know how it came to be. I don't know how she found them, but there were some chickens because we've had chickens here. And we are, I don't know if anyone out there listening knows Indianapolis area at all. We're in Westfield, which is a couple towns north, a suburb, I guess, but we're on the northern tip of Westfield. Well, she was going to go rescue some chickens that were on the southern side of Indianapolis, kind of where Todd is at when he's in this neck of the woods. And I don't know if it was, I don't think it was a humane society, but it was some kind of an animal shelter or whatnot. So anyway, tells me on a Sunday, hey, I'm going to go get these chickens. I'll be back. It's going to take me probably a couple hours. Okay. And she's, you know, got a crate. So she leaves. I'm out in the yard doing some work. I've probably drank two or three beers, you know, whatnot. She ends up coming back a couple hours later. She backs up the truck in the driveway. And she says, hey, comes out in the yard and says, hey, I need your help getting these, you know, getting this out. All right. I walk up, and I see this big kennel. It didn't look like anything we had, but it was a bigger animal kennel. So I open up, you know, it's kind of like a Nissan Rogue, so it kind of has like the hatchback, whatever, trunk thing, you know. And so I open that up, and I kind of dig in closer, and I'm looking at the ass end of a big potbelly pig. And I wasn't quite sure what to do from there. And I looked at her with my jaw dropped, and she just kind of looked at me and shrugged her shoulders like, huh? So there I was responsible for taking this pig out, somehow getting in our pasture, And to this day, we rescued from that shelter a big old, I don't even know how much he weighs, potbelly pig. And that was another adventure getting him in, out into our pasture. So, yes, we are some of those that I guess you could say rescue animals. And I'll leave it at that.
I like it. A tangent led to a
comment. Yeah, man. Well, you guys know my chocolate lab. She's a rescue. And
yes, sir.
It's kind of odd. You know, I ran inside and refreshed my drink while we were speaking. And when I go in, I have my 140-pound English Mastiff Misty. She's laying on the couch, on her back, sprawled out, got the whole Kate Winslet Titanic pose going on, and the entire couch is hers. And Sadie, the little chocolate lab, I say little, she's 70 pounds, she is sprawled across the love seat, and I'm going, well, I guess it's a good thing I have a recliner to sit on in this damn house, or else I'd have nowhere I'd have to sit on the floor. But the story we had gotten on Sadie was that she was a day away from getting the shot. And I ain't going to go into the deep side of it because I get too screwed up about it, but the Ruby's Misfits here in Onslow County picked her up, and she had been with them for 3 weeks when my wife went to one of these meet-and-greet things and saw Sadie and brought her home. This morning, as I laid in bed, this chocolate lab was laid up against me and, you know, offering perfect lumbar support by laying against my back, which I appreciate. And when my alarm went off this morning, she knew I was getting ready to get up, so she shifted her weight to keep me from getting up. Like saying, hey, I'm comfortable, don't get up, you're going to screw up my mojo, you know. Finally, I got up, and she does that little, does that huff. And all throughout the day today, like any other day, she is always quick to stand by your side. She's always quick to come sit down next to you and demand some pets and everything. And I'm telling you, ain't a day go by where I just don't look at that dog and think to myself, what a loss it would have been. One day, she had one more day on this world, on this planet. And if it wasn't for that rescue picking her up, A, the world would have lost a damn good dog, and B, I would have lost a damn good dog. And, yeah, so to anybody who has the ability, and when I say the ability, the resources, the amount of land, the time, and more importantly, the heart to do that, my undying gratitude and admiration, man, because it's an incredible thing to take on these animals that way, and it's a hell of a responsibility. And you see a lot of people answering it. And it shows that there's a lot of good people still out there. So it's something to behold. But my problem is I get too attached. I can never do it because I get too attached. You know, I see a lot of these foster, they call them foster parents for these dogs. And I'm like, a dog spends the night in my house? It's mine. I'm not going to give this damn thing away. That dog is mine.
I get it. I think Liz was on the call when we were talking about it a number of years ago. I can't believe we've been, you know, I've been part of this for years. It boggles my mind.
I know it.
We were talking about some of the various rescues. I had hit the point where I said, and for dismay, we had part of this conversation in a group text with some of the tribe earlier, a number of weeks back, where it never gets easier losing those pets. It may be just a dog. It may be just a cat, a turtle, you name it. It never really is just a. It never, you know, that's not really the case. You find yourself referring back to the uniqueness over the decades of the variety of some of those household members we've all had. I was just done, man. I had burned out on the last can't, you know, I don't want to bury another one, that kind of stuff. There was a rescue event by one of the auto dealerships here, and they come back with this Sylvester-looking cat. The only thing he was missing was a white tip on his tail. And lo and behold, you know, he, Yuki is his favorite, kind of is his mom. It didn't take him long after I came back for him to fall back into our old pattern where, as big as he is, he's fairly long for a cat. I'm one of the few that got the arm length and stuff to be able to hold him proper. When, we'll sit here at 0:30 in the morning, I'll hold him. He'll use that cat ability to see in the dark, and I'll hold him by the, porch sliding glass doors, and he'll watch outside, and then we'll worry about getting him fed. But he's got to come up, and he's got to be like, Grandpa, you got to hold me. You know, we got to spend some time. I got to sit there and purr. I got to put my paws on the window and need the paws. And you know, he's a rescue. Couple months back, wife and daughter got another rescue because they felt this one needed another partner. And you know, watching them play and horse around in the house and, you know, chase each other and give each other grief. And, you know, one will stalk the other when, you know, one's tired and the other one wants to play. And sit there and just give the other one grief. The rescues, the son and his wife came over and visited as that unnamable hurricane was coming in. And when they came and did the visit, they brought their Yorkie. Not a big deal for people to travel with a dog, but they sure as heck, irony, brought their hurricane rescue cat, which was found here at this place during Florence. You know, it just... So I had 3 out of 4 critters in the house were rescues, absolutely rescues, and just watching them interact and stuff. This, you know, the hurricane rescue kitty is definitely unique.
For the record,
we'll grab that stinking Yorkie, pin that stinking Yorkie down, and we'll just tongue lash that Yorkie and launder the heck out of that Yorkie like you wouldn't believe. It's just that Yorkie is that cat's best friend. It's amazing.
All I wanted to say was that I had a Sylvester and he did have the white tip tail. And he was a big old fat cat, sounds like the one you might have been talking about. And he was also a rescue. Got him from my mom's. The vet that my mom goes to with her cat had rescued, somebody had rescued and took to that vet. He had been beat up pretty bad, don't know how. He was in bad shape. They nursed him back to health, and then I adopted him from there. He was previously, I think they named him Sylvester, but he had the white tip tail, and then he was mine. I think I was about 23 when I got him. Had him for about, past now, but I had him for, I don't know, it was over... about 11 or 12 years.
Yep. And no, I love it. We again, tangent, folks. We didn't see this coming. You're hearing real stuff from all of us. Tim, appreciate your honesty being out here. I know I put you in a comedic spot early on with the whole butt dial routine and all that, but the rescue stuff, good stuff, Tim. I mean,
yeah,
I think it speaks volumes about your character. The and again, this all unscripted. That was our third tangent for the night, folks. And we've done beyond extraordinary. We are at 60 minutes and change after 2200, 10 p.m. for you civilian maggots. The I'm sorry, I did not say that out loud, did I?
Maggots need to be rescued.
Yeah, you know, you don't rescue them, they're going to fly away. The but all seriousness, okay, so we are not far from our wrapping up closing routine that we normally do, that kind of stuff. I think we have all done a big prop for the various rescue foundations that exist for all the different animals.
Yeah, most certainly. And not taking anything away from people who buy dogs and cats or other animals. I always kind of go to dogs because that's my wheelhouse. But, you know, if you want a particular type of dog and a particular, you know, you want papers on it, you know, you want it for breeding, blah, blah, blah. You know, fine. You go right on ahead and you spend your hard-earned money on the dog you want. But in the event you just want a dog, and I just use that as a generalized term, you just want a dog, by God, like Todd said, matter of fact, last week, they just had one here in Onslow County that I think Hendricks Toyota sponsored, where all you had to do was go to the animal shelter. Hendricks Toyota sponsored the whole, or put the bill for the whole thing, where the only thing you had to do was sign off on the pet. They paid for neutering and spading. They paid for shots. They paid for everything. And granted, with the COVID thing, a lot of these shelters, people have come to the call and cleared out a lot of these rescue shelters and everything. But nevertheless, there's still dogs and cats out there that need homes. And if you're looking for a dog or a cat, and again, dogs are a little more, you could tell a little more about a dog than you can a cat, go there. And, you know, Rob and Dale, we're in the market for a third dog, and we're wanting one that's kind of going to hook up with Rob. Seeing the Mastiff follows Dale around, and the Chocolate Lab said he follows me around. And Rob went there, and he just didn't feel a connection with any of them. And that's not a bad thing, because if you're not feeling that mojo there, you're not going to feel that mojo here. And all
agreed.
You know, and you've got to have that. And of course, my rule with dogs is if you could take a dog and get him to roll over on his back, and if you could put your hand gently on his chest and hold that dog on its back, when I say hold, I don't mean press down on, of course, but if the dog's laying on his back and you can put your hand on his chest and he's not trying to gnaw your arm off, take the dog home, because that's one that's going to be your buddy. That's going to be the one that sits in the recliner with you. That's going to be the one that keeps you warm on the cold night and won't leave your side, and it'll break your heart when they go.
Yeah, they will.
But, you know, the thing to do, though, if you're in the market for a dog, before you drop $1,500 on a registered dog, do your homework. And that's another thing I preach, going back to what you were saying about the exotic pets. You know, it's neat to buy an iguana, but when you find out all the stuff that comes with it, or buying a snake, you know, people don't realize. They don't eat cabbage. They eat live animals. So when you got to run the pet store and buy mice and throw a live mouse in the tank and watch this snake eat this mouse, you know, there are people out there that can't handle that kind of stuff. So if you have a certain type of home, or if you've got children, or if you've got elderly or whatever, do your homework on the dog, on the breeds. Get an established plan, an established notion of what you're looking at. You know, look at your land. Look at your house. You know, if you're one of these type of people that's worried about dog hair, don't get a dog, because every damn one of them sheds.
Right.
You know, if you've got a minimal amount of land, don't go out and get a husky or a beagle, because they're active dogs. If you're one of these type of people that's very active, like go on hikes and go out running and that kind of good stuff, don't get a basset hound or a bulldog. You know, do your homework. But go to these rescues, because you'd be amazed at what you can find. And I'm telling you, it's got to be, we picked up Misty. Rob had a friend at school when he was in school that her dog had had puppies. And that's how we ended up with Misty. But Sadie was an unexpected pregnancy on Dale's part, and she went to one of these meet and greets, and Sadie's been right there by my side for coming up on, what, 3 years now, from this January. So
it's been a minute, because I remember she was pretty narrow when you got her. That dog, she ain't lacking for food now.
She looks like a million bucks.
I hate to say it. We are at 23 minutes after we have had one of the great long-running PSAs for animal rescue stuff. Again, none of this planned. You're hearing real people talk to you about real stuff. We're not, again, no agenda. We walked into this. This whole night was just absolutely made up. To answer the most recent text, yes, I really do try to take a nap on Wednesday night in order to stay up this late for this show. That is a true story. I will not deny it. Absolutely true.
And you're not alone. You are not alone. Trust me. I've been lucky enough to have a few days off here recently, and I'm telling you, it does make a difference.
All right. So, Tim, anybody, anything you want to give some love out to tonight? You're more than welcome to at this point.
I will say that.
In fact, if you need a few minutes, let me know and I'll make up something for myself.
I will say that you mentioned there were a couple of different new followers, one of which is my wife. So, and I don't know if I had told you previously. I don't know. I don't think she's listening upstairs right now. She's probably already asleep. She goes to bed pretty early. But I know what she likes to do is, and I told her she can listen to, you know, the archives. So just a shout out to Kim, my wife, if she hears this. Glad she joined, you know, want to listen, and love her so much. And I guess that's all I got to say.
All right, yeah. Big thanks, Kim, for I don't know. Again, it might be yet another occasion to follow up with your, you know, the wedding anniversary to Tim, where we owe you another sympathy card because you're adding your wagon to ours. I mean, I don't know. The might be the case. Yeah.
And my apologies in advance for anything I might have said over the last 4 years that doesn't settle right. So there's the open-ended apology for the past, you know, hundreds of my shows. Where I would have hit
man.
Turn.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. Yeah, because we may have some shows in the past. You know what? No point apologizing because we're real. It's what we feel. It's what we, you know, see. It's what we say. The you know what? Let me kind of do a variation of that without necessarily giving props. But, you know, big hugs to everybody and the listeners, obviously, right off. We are what we are. We are real. We're not, you know. It's our opinions, our views. Not everybody that's a member of the team has the same perspective and stuff. But let me tell you, when we run into each other, and true story, it's pretty much big hugs. Because that is COVID or not, that's just kind of the way it is. That is no joke. That's the way it works. So, you know, when I close with the ye old big hugs, that is so freaking sincere, people. The I know we can't mention everybody that means stuff to us in all these shows, but yeah, it just, you know, skip people. Look, I'm old. I forget stuff. Leave me alone. This May, I forget stuff. I'm old. I know. Yet you're reiterating that. And no, it doesn't require a second nap, although honestly, I did try a second nap tonight. It failed. All right, Dave, all yours.
Hey, just a quick thought is, despite all the things going on in America right now, we have a pretty damn wonderful thing going on. And just a little food for thought before you go into the ballot booth coming up here November. Election Day is only, 93, 94 days away, give or take. And despite the fact of the imperfections we have running the country right now, the one running against them has yet to announce a running mate, and we're less than 100 days out. And the gentleman who is running is long in the tooth. So whoever that running mate is may turn out to be your president. So please take the next 3 months to do your homework, take the emotion out of your decision-making, make a business decision, study up, and think about what you're going to do the first Tuesday of this November. Keep the emotion at the house. Make it all business, because a lot can go wrong in 4 years. So that being said, I am going to shuffle indoors with the remnant of my malt beverage, get to my laptop, since I'm running the board tonight, and I can cut the show off. But with all that being said, going back to what Todd was saying, and Tim for that matter, we're all new listeners and folks following us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We very much appreciate it.
Hey,
and
this
Tim,
May.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yep, thank
yeah,
you guys
yeah.
for
Big
having
me. Tim. Dave, let me throw this out there. Dismay, thanks for throwing the stuff in here, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it, because I know you had some other things going on, and if we could give you a little escapism, glad we, as a team, were able to provide it. Welcome aboard, girl.
Yeah, most certainly. She'll have to join us one night and just go ahead and turn loose, open script. But with that,
I already invited her.
Outstanding. Well done. Well, all right then, everybody. Well, we're running over time regardless. We appreciate you listening. And thank you again, Todd, Tim. Couldn't do it without you, gentlemen. Appreciate you carrying the ball tonight. Another touchdown show. And we'll get ready for the British lady. Now, there's anything wrong with being a British lady, though she interrupts us a lot of times. Thank you again, everybody. And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Stars. Be safe. God bless. Talk to everybody soon.
Big hugs, people. Big hugs.
And the British lady, get ready.